I mentioned earlier the Lower Thames Crossing is facing more criticism as campaigners are calling for its construction to be halted due to its use of smart technology. Back in January, the government put a pause on the computerised control of motorway lanes due to safety concerns, being blamed for a series of fatal accidents where it's been in operation. The Thames Crossing Action Group say the road project linking Kent to Essex via tunnels east of Gravesend should be stopped until there's evidence smart technology is fit for purpose. Laura Blake is from the group and joins us this morning. Morning, Laura.
Good morning.
So National Highways have said that safety is their highest concern. They're going to incorporate advances in smart technology, they say, into their design. So will this hold up the developments then? What's the latest?
Well, we're calling on a pause, as you said, in line with the pause generally on smart motorways that the government have announced back in January. And although National Highways are referring to the Lower Thames Crossing as an all-purpose trunk road, an A road, we've got written evidence from them to tell us that it is being designed to smart motorway standards. It would use smart technology, doesn't have a hard shoulder, and the only traffic that can legally use a motorway would be able to use it. Now, to us, that seems like they're trying to push through a smart motorway by stealth, and that's why we're calling for it to be paused. We think safety is obviously a very important issue. And as you've quite rightly said, there are serious questions to be asked about smart motorways due to the sad amount of fatalities that there have been.
But the road's not being classified as a motorway, is it? So why is smart technology to be used?
That's something obviously you'd need to ask National Highways. I assume that they would say it is something to do with increasing the safety levels. But without the hard shoulder and without evidence that the actual smart technology is properly installed and working, they've opened up smart motorways that don't have that technology properly installed. And even when it is installed, it's not working and it's not being monitored adequately. It's really scary when you start looking into it and you learn more about this technology.
So are you concerned then that smart technology will be brought in anyway on the Lower Thames Crossing?
We're concerned about a lot of things with the Lower Thames Crossing. As you can imagine, as a group, we have concerns over whether it will be fit for purpose, whether it will be safe, the amount of damage it's doing, the harm to the environment, to health, to well-being. And just to jump back in on the topic of it not being classified a motorway, that changed around the time that Panorama brought out their Killer Motorways programme, and Smart Motorway really became more in the public domain and people were talking about it more. That was the point when they changed it from being referred to as a motorway to a road or an all-purpose trunk road. The reason they gave for it being no longer being a motorway, but only be able to be used by motorway traffic legally, was because it would connect two motorways. They always say the M2 to the M25. But you can technically get from the A2 onto the LTC if it goes ahead. You could come off on the A13, or you could carry on up to the top of the LTC and then take the new parallel road and get onto the A127. So you could use a route without actually having to go on a motorway.
And your group want the Lower Thames Crossing stopped completely. It's already been through years of consultation, hasn't it? What are the alternatives then, Laura?
There are lots of different alternatives, and the longer this has been going on, the more alternatives have come up. We always said that if you were going for a road alternative, then option A14, which is a connection from around junction 2 on the M25, the A2 junction, with a long tunnel going through and under the river and coming up between junctions 30 and 29. That would bypass the current problem areas. It would be able to be used by traffic that uses the M25, because you've got that gap in there now, the A282 at the Dartford Crossing. This would finally finish the M25 as a true motorway orbital. There's also other options like the Kennex Tram project that connects both sides of the river. And there's also talk about improvements to rail, especially for rail freight between Ashford through to Reading, that would take a huge amount of HGVs off the road and has been said to negate the need for the Lower Thames Crossing.
Well, yes, you say that. I mean, also with rising fuel costs and a push to go green and use sustainable transport, will there even, do you think, be a need for a Lower Thames Crossing in the coming decades?
Well, that's another good point, Pat, when you're mentioning about active travel there. You wouldn't actually be able to use the Lower Thames Crossing by any means of active travel. It's purely designed for motorised vehicles. And it doesn't even incorporate making it viable for bus services. We've spoken to bus companies and they've said because of the way it's designed and the lack of connectivity, it wouldn't be viable for them to put bus routes in. So it does seem to be very outdated thinking to progress with a road for £8.2 billion of our money that is going to be so destructive, harmful, in a time when we really should be addressing better ways of travelling and reducing our carbon emissions, the particulate matter 2.5, and so much more.
Are the government and national highways open to your input and your ideas then, Laura, or not?
They would like to say that they're listening to everyone, but there are plenty of instances where many people, not just myself and the group, feel that they're not listening. We haven't even had a response properly from National Highways Chief Executive Nick Harris when we've emailed him about these pools for smart motorways. Initially, our first letter that we sent to him, he passed on to someone in the Lower Thames Crossing team. We responded again and we got a response telling us that we'd hear within 10 working days. That was on the 25th of January. We've still had no further response from them. That's part of the reason why we're escalating this and now calling for an investigation from the Transport Select Committee and from the Office of Rail and Road.
Laura Blake from the Thames Crossing Action Group, thank you for joining us. We did invite National Highways onto the programme this morning, but they declined to comment.